Darren and Mariah Curl are with us this morning. Many of you know them already. Mariah, of course, was raised in our church, was a wonderful contribution and addition to nearly everything we did here at Landmark in terms of ministry and relationships and all of that. We were a little concerned when the Lord set her up with a man. But the Lord set her up with not just a man that we knew, but a man that we liked, and even a step further, a man that we loved a whole lot. And let's take it one more step, a man that loved God more than he loved anything else, more than he even loves Mariah, he loves God. And so God set her up well. And Darren got a gem in Mariah, and I could stand up here and talk for a long time about them. Darren, I love you so much. Mariah, I love you so much. It is our privilege this morning to hear what God is doing through them, in them, in the area of missions, and specifically in the area of Central America, Guatemala, and all of that. So without any further introduction, will you please help me welcome this morning Darren and Mariah Curl.
Good morning, Landmark. How are we doing this morning? Awesome. It is a joy to be in the house of the Lord today. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Pastor Eddie. Thank you, Pastor Ed. We love you guys so much. Can we just give a hand clap to our pastors in this place? Can we honor them this morning? I certainly would not be who I am if it weren't for my pastors along the way, the people that have gone before me, that have prayed over me, that have shepherded me. And so this morning, I just want to say that you guys have some of the most amazing pastors in the world, and we are so honored to be here this morning. Eddie actually married us, and so this place, Landmark, holds a special place in our hearts. We will never be the same because of you guys, our life, everything that we do. Your guys' legacy in us, just everything that you poured into us over the years. We're honored for everything that has been happened and has been done in this place. And so thank you, pastors, for leading us in the direction to the foot of the cross. Amen? Amen. Well, good morning. My name is Darren Curl. My wife, Mariah, you guys know her. I'm just going to start off by sharing a little bit of our past and my past and our journey up until this last May, and then I'll hand it off to my wife and let her speak about some testimonies of this last summer. But I was born in Zimbabwe. My grandfather moved over there and decided to do missions and started feeding and clothing and just serving in an orphanage there. And then my dad grew up in that, and my uncles all grew up there in Zimbabwe. And so I was born and raised there as a missionary and pastor's kid, and I was around missions my whole young adult life. And at about 14 years of age, God called my family to the U.S., and we originally moved to Oregon, Coos Bay, Oregon, and were involved in the church there with my grandmother. And then about a year after moving, my mother as a young girl, went to a camp up in Washington. And when we moved over there to Oregon the next year, she looks at us kids and she says, "Hey, I used to go to this camp, and I want to go with you guys and with our church." And so we put together a team and came up to the Salmon Falls Retreat Center and came to your camp that this church puts on. And there I had an amazing time, just got impacted by the Lord. And so a year passed after that moment, and we went back to camp, and that was the week that I met Mariah. Christian camp, great place to meet a wife. Any young people in the room? No better place than at a Christian camp, amen? But went up there, met Mariah, just started to connect with her. She just blew my mind. We talked about our past, our testimonies, things that have happened in our lives, and just connected so well that week. And then I left, went back to Oregon, and we communicated long distance for a while. And then God actually opened up a door in Vancouver at People's Church for my father. And so we then moved from Oregon up to Vancouver, Washington. And about a week after getting here, I asked Mariah to be my girlfriend. I was like, "I'm not waiting anymore. I'm just going to do it." But asked her out, and she said yes, which was amazing. And so we served there for a while and grew in this place. But the next year after that camp in which I met Mariah, I came in contact with a gentleman, and his name is Caleb Mooney. And so I began to talk with Caleb Mooney that week, and he began to share with me that he started a missions organization called Hoovenit, and he started and founded this, and it's gone on an incredible journey. And they serve churches and host missions teams in 11 countries throughout Central and South America. And I just fell in love with him as he was speaking, the words that he was saying. It had been, since I left Zimbabwe, it had been a couple years, and I hadn't served anybody in any real capacity. And so I said, yes, this is what I want to do. This is where I want to go. I want to be a part of this trip. And so went on a trip 2 weeks later, actually, just raised the money, went on a trip, just got so impacted and touched by the Lord. At the end of that week, he said, well, what do you want to do? Do you want to go back? And I said, I want to intern with you guys. And so I came back here to Washington, and I looked at my mom, and I said, Mom, I'm going to Salt Lake to intern with Hoovenit. And as any mother would in country, she just laughed at me and ignored the fact that I just said that. She didn't want any part of that nonsense. But about 2 months later, I was packing up my car, and my mom was like, what are you doing? And I said, well, Mom, I am leaving. Like, I know that you ignored that fact, but I am going. God is calling me to this. And so I packed up my car, left Mariah, left this area, and drove out to Salt Lake City. And so now we work full-time within Hoovenit, and my wife, most amazing person in the world. So I say that everything good in my life comes from that youth camp. My job and my wife, everything good in my life comes from that place. And so grateful for you guys for doing that. And that is just a testimony of two people, but the hundreds of people that have gone through that place that have been touched by God is unreal to think about the impact and the journey that that could set them on in their lives. And so I moved out to Salt Lake and started interning with Hoovenit. I spent a year-long internship. I lived with Caleb and Alyssa Mooney in their home with their kids, the five kids that they have. It was quite a full house where we had an amazing time, and just spent a year traveling with Caleb, just serving alongside of him, going on trips throughout multiple different countries. And then a year after I moved, God called Mariah out there as well and called her. And so she felt that call and said goodbye here to you guys and came out, drove out to Salt Lake City to be with me. And God just developed, we just continued to develop our relationship there. And about a year after being there, I looked at my leadership and I said, I'm going to need to marry Mariah. And they all looked at me and they said, no. They said, you should not marry Mariah. And I was a little frustrated, but I said, okay, I will respect your advice and your counsel in this. And I said, when everybody says yes, then I'll know it's time. Because everybody just said no. And so I worked that next year just training up what it is to be a husband, to be a man, just serving and being discipled by Caleb. And a year later, I looked at them and I said, I need to marry Mariah. And they said, well, what are you waiting for? Hurry up and get this over with. And so we drove back here. We had our wedding up in Woodland at the Red Barn. Had an amazing wedding. And like I said, Eddie married us. And just a special, multiple of you guys were there. And thank you so much for everything. But had an amazing time here around family, around people that love us and that we love so deeply. And so we spent the next 2 years in Salt Lake there just working, serving, and training up to do missions. And so last summer, it was beginning of June, we went down to Guatemala, and we spent about 2 months there. And our goal for that summer was to say, God, is this what you have for us? And so, because a week is one thing, but an extended period of time is a little different. And so we went down, and we said, God, is this what you have for us? And at the end of those 2 months, we looked at each other, and we just said, yes, this is what, there's nothing else that we want to do with our lives. This is what we're called to do. And so we decided to do that and then spent the next 8 or 9 months just preparing to leave Salt Lake City, selling everything that we own, our vehicles, our clothes. Mariah, I made her sell all of her purses, but we sold what we had and we packed up into 2 suitcases and went down to Guatemala as Hoovenit missionaries full-time. And that was this last May 9th, a couple of days before her birthday, we went down and decided that this is what we're going to do and started to plant our feet, to build a life there, and then jumped right into missions trips. We host missions trips. There's people in this room that have been on a trip with us. Amen. I saw you this morning. It was great to see everybody again, but we host missions trips for the bulk of what we do and then oversee some pastors and work within Guatemala. But June and July, just been hosting teams every single week for those 2 months. And my brother came down and spent an amazing time with us. And I know that my voice is not as pretty as my wife's, and so I will let her just share some testimonies now. Let's just welcome Mariah. Thank you. And she'll just share a little bit about what our teams look like and then some testimonies of what God has done, and just be blessed by her words.
Thank you. Well, like Darren said, to reiterate, we're so excited and so happy to be here. You know that feeling when you get home, like after a vacation, and you like get in your bed and you get in your comfy clothes and you just like feel at home? That's what I feel like when I come to church at Landmark. Like, it just feels like home. And that's a good feeling, right? Well, we're glad to be here. And like Darren said, we have had an incredible year already. We know it's not over yet, and that God's not done yet, that God has incredible things in store for the next year and the next year and the next year. But I have the pleasure of sharing some testimonies with you all. Well, we moved down there not really speaking Spanish. We knew a few phrases here and there, but we did not speak Spanish by any means. You could not call us fluent. And so we are starting to host teams, and we had taken a few classes with a friend of ours. She had tutored us in Spanish, but we started to receive teams, and we have a translator with us when we do that. She's an incredible woman of God that we get to do life with. But one day we had the privilege to reach more families than we were expecting. We were doing a food distribution in a rural village. Well, that meant that we needed to split up into more groups, which means that we needed more translators. So the pastor looked at Darren and I and said, "We need you guys to translate." And I looked at him and I kind of laughed. And then I realized he was serious. And then I kind of just looked at him and I was like, "You realize I don't speak Spanish?" And he was like, no, "You'll be okay. You'll be okay." And I was like, "Okay." And I was shaking and sweating and like, is he really for real, or is he really just trying to prank me right now? No, he was really for real. And in that moment, I heard God say, "Go." And I was like, "Okay, well, I can't really argue with that." And so I went, and I'm telling you, the whole ride there, my heart is pounding, my palms are sweating, and I'm like, "God, I can't even speak English right now. I don't know how I'm going to do this." And you know, I have my team of Americans from the States that are looking at me to lead them. Then I have this huge team from Guatemala looking at me to lead them as well. And I was like, "Okay, God, you have to do something. Like, you got to give me words that I don't know so that I can do you justice." And so we walk into this woman's home, and her whole family is there, all five of them. And she has older children, teenagers and in their younger adulthood. And we filled up her front garden area, and there was about 40 people in this in her house. And we had been told that this family was not Christians, that they didn't want to have anything to do with the Lord, but that they were severely, severely poor and didn't have enough money to eat. They hadn't eaten at all that week. And so when we go into people's houses, usually what we do is we have our team from the States share their testimony of what God has done in their life. Because the Bible says that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, right? It's important that we share our testimonies. And so we have them share, and we translate, and then we share the gospel with them. And so I'm translating to the best of my ability, and I think they're understanding me. And then I hear God say, "You need to teach them about my love." And I was like, "Okay, I know how to say those words, I think." And I start sharing with them, and all of a sudden I start seeing just these walls come down. And I see just tears well up in all of their eyes. And at the end of it, I looked at each one of them and asked each one if they'd like to accept salvation for the first time in their life. And all five of them said yes. It was amazing, amazing. Well, not just that, but we had a service that evening, and the whole family showed up. And she came up to me, was crying, and had made me this beautiful tapestry that I now have on my dining room table. And she said, "Thank you. Thank you for saving my family. Thank you for coming to my country." And in that moment, God just spoke something to me and said, I don't need your perfection. I don't even need a good job. I need obedience. I need your yes. I hope that encourages you today. All he needs is a yes. He does the rest. He is good. He's faithful to do the rest. He is faithful to do the impossible. Well, not just that, but I'm going to share one more with you because it's just that good. So the next week, we host another team, and we get the privilege to build a house for a widow and their children in 2 days, which is just mind-blowing. And so we meet this family, beautiful family, just full of joy, love, and loves the Lord. And after building relationship with this family, we see two of their kids coming home from school. And the mom told us that her son was born with a skin disease and is in constant pain 24/7. And they can't afford the cream that will help with it. And so he never leaves the house without a long sleeve shirt and a hat. And is embarrassed wherever he goes, doesn't want to go anywhere. And so we meet him, and his name is Angel, which means angel in Spanish. And we got to know him and just play with him, and it was an amazing time with him. Well, we finish this house, and when we finish these houses, we like to bless it and pray over the family in this house, because we know that this isn't just a physical answer to need, but that we're there to address the spiritual needs of the family as well. This is just an open door to let God do his thing. And so as we're praying, I hear God say, you need to pray for healing over Angel. And so thank the Lord, there was someone on the team that spoke Spanish, and I asked her to lead us out. And as just the whole team and the whole family actually just lifted their voices in prayer, this presence of the Lord fell so heavily in that place that it was tangible, like you could reach out and touch it. And even Angel was praying over himself. And we just declared, God, you are the God of yesterday, today, and tomorrow. You are a faithful God, not just of the small things, but God of the impossible. And we believe that. Well, but a month later, we show up unexpectedly at a house on the same road as this family, and I recognized it, and I told Darren, I have to go see the family and say hi. And so Darren goes off with the team, and I go to the family, and they must have heard my voice as I was walking in, but before I could even get to the door, the kids run out of the house and greet me with the biggest hugs and biggest smiles you've ever seen, and there was Angel with a short sleeve shirt on and no hat, and his skin was almost completely clean, completely clear. That was all God. That was all God. And his mom looked at me and said, well, because I asked her, did you get the money to buy the cream? What happened? And she looked at me and she said, no, it was God. And I was like, you are right. It was God. It was all God. Had nothing to do with us. But because we were obedient in not our ability, but because we know who our God is, he moved. Amen. Well, I hope you're encouraged today. I know God has an awesome word on Darren's heart, which I'm excited for you to hear. But take a look at this video to see all of the incredible other things that we have accomplished through Juvenet in 2018.
Fire. We are aching for
Man, God is good. Thank you, Mariah, so much for sharing those testimonies. That first one, I wanted to speak on that first testimony where that family gave her life to the Lord because of Mariah. So I grew up in missions. I was like, it's the only thing I've ever wanted to do, and I thought that I was good at it until Mariah came down because that family, she brought her that tapestry, a beautiful handmade, and she said, "This is for you. Thank you for saving my family." And my first thought was, wow, that's so amazing, babe. And then my second thought was, nobody's given me a gift yet. And it's there on our dining room table, and it serves as a reminder that I need to pray more or something like that. But we're just so grateful for you guys, family here in this place. This morning, feeling the desire to share with you guys just our personal lives. You are family in this place, and your prayers and your love mean everything to us. And so this morning, we just wanted to announce that we are actually having a baby, and that's really exciting. We just feel honored by everybody in this place, and are so grateful. And so it's not public news, it's not official, because it's not Facebook or whatever, but we are waiting to do that. But we wanted to share with you guys, while we had the opportunity to, just to say thank you, and keep us in our prayers, and keep the journey that we're on in our prayers, in your prayers as well. Amen. Let's just pray real quick before we open up the Word. God, we love you so much this morning. We just call on you, Father, to speak to us this morning. Open up our hearts, our eyes, our ears, God, to see you, to hear you in a new way. Just renew our minds. Give us a new vision, a new desire. Speak this morning as we seek you, your kingdom, and your Word. In your name, amen. Over the next couple minutes, I'd just like to share one or two main points that we have learned as missionaries since being in Guatemala. We moved down there, and since then, God has brought us through a journey of teaching us things. And it's not necessarily a teaching of new things, but it's a renewal of old things and a renewal of mind. And so this morning, I want to speak on that. When we came back to the U.S. just about a month ago, I was speaking with one of my cousins, and he said, "Well, what were some of the culture shocks going to Guatemala?" And I thought for a second, and I realized that going there, for me personally, was not the hard part. There was not much of a shock. I had spent a lot of time there, grew up around that kind of poverty, and so for me, it felt somewhat normal and somewhat natural. And he began to asked me, "Well, then what is weird?" And I said, "Well, it was actually more of a culture shock when I came back to the U.S. And he said, "What do you mean?" And I said, "Well, for me, the biggest thing is that relatively within 5 minutes of where I am at any place, I have access to anything that I desire." I said, "For me, that's the weird part. That literally within a couple minutes, anything that is on my heart that I desire, I can go and get." And my wife, she missed all the home, she misses in Guatemala, she misses from the U.S., the home decor stores, Hobby Lobby, Michaels, those kind of things. Me personally, I miss Home Depot. Amen. Any builders in the room that just freaking love Home Depot, I miss it so much. There is no access to good wood, there is no access to good tools, and it frustrates me very much. But we began to talk about those things. But the biggest one is that within 5 minutes, anything that I desire, I have access to. And as we began to communicate about that and why it is that way, and I found that in Guatemala, in the areas, some of the harder situations and circumstances that we find ourselves in those moments, I learned the most. And for an example, maybe one of the hardest moments we've ever had as a couple, and Mariah personally, was we were building a house for a widow this last summer, and in a little area, a little community, about 10 families around, and we were building a house for one of the ladies, but the next door neighbor came up to Mariah, and she stuck her hands out like this, and she was holding no more than a 2-year-old beautiful little girl. She was malnourished, she had a big belly, and she's covered in dirt and snot all over herself, and she lifted up this baby to Mariah, and she said, "Please, can you take my child?" She said, "Please, can you take her and give her more than what I can provide for her?" And when that happens to you, like seriously, when somebody does that, we were just like frozen. What do we say to this? How do we reply to this lady? Just for your information, adoption in Guatemala is illegal. So even if that desire was there, we would not have permission by the country to adopt. And so there was not a lot of options for us. There was not much that we could do. And so we explained to her the situation and the desire for us to maybe partner with her in the future and supply them with food and stuff like that and pray over her. And we think she understood. But that is an example of some of the moments in the communities that we're a part of and broke our hearts instantly. But one of the things in those areas, one of the things that we realize is that they are so hungry and so passionate for the word of the Lord. They are so hungry. And so we come in with this message of hope and of love and of peace. And their arms, physical and their spiritual arms, are so wide open to receiving the love that God has for them. And so we began to talk about why that is, how it is. And for me, it comes down to one thing, that everything that Jesus provides is crucial to their survival. It's crucial to their survival. Every day they wake up and they have to have the hope that he provides. Every day that they are facing situations that to anybody else might seem unbelievable, they're facing these situations, and without the love and the hope and the forgiveness and everything that God offers, what else is there? And so for them, it is so crucial to their survival. And so we began to look at the differences in cultures and the U.S. and first world countries and why God, as a core of who we are, might not be the same. And he talked about the differences between, for them, it's so crucial that they cannot physically survive without us. And here, I can have all of my needs met relatively quickly, within 5 minutes, any need that I have, any desire, I can have it met. And so those things distract us a little bit from the reality that Jesus needs to be the core of who we are. We can have our needs met, and so we find other resources, other things to meet our needs, and then we add a little bit of Jesus on top, a little add-on, a little extra, a little addition to on Sundays and to our lives. And so as we began to talk about this, a story came to mind, and the story is of Gideon in Judges. And so I began to read that story and began to read about Gideon and pray, but God, what do you have for us? And he put on my heart the human body. And so I looked into the human body a little bit. I'm not at all scientific, but it's relatively easy to figure out what we need as humans to survive. One of those things is water, and one of those things is food. Amen. We as physical beings every day have to seek food, and we have to seek water to survive. We can maybe go 3 to 4 days without water, and water makes up 65% of who we are and helps with our joints. It helps with our blood distributing oxygen. It helps with those things. And so we can only go 3 to 4 days without water. And then without food, it's 3 to 4 weeks without food as well. And so we need those things to survive. And so I'm going to read two scriptures real quick. We don't have them because I just want to read them quickly so we can get a grasp on this. In John 6, it says, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anybody eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I shall give them is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world. And then in John 4, it says, Jesus answered, whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give them will never thirst. But the water that I shall give them will become in him a fountain of living water springing up into everlasting life. How simple is Jesus? His message, his heart is not complicated. It is one of love, and it is one that is simple to understand. He says, he compares the two, and he says, for your physical being, you need water and food to survive. They are crucial to your survival. And then he flips it to the spiritual, and he says, how does he describe himself? He says, I am the living water and the living bread. And it's so beautiful that we took communion this morning as a representation of his blood and his body and his flesh. And he says, he relays those two so simply, but how do we not see it the same way, to where for our physical, we need those things to survive and we seek those things every single day, but do we with the same desire, do we seek the spiritual that we need to survive in the living water and the living bread? Amen. It's so plain. And this, as I was saying, the story reminds me of Gideon, to where Gideon was charged to go and take back a land and fight this army, and the army was more than 100,000 people. And Gideon goes in his ability, and he goes and gathers his army of 33,000 men, or 32,000 men. And so he brings his army that he brought up to the Lord, and he says, God, here we are, let's go and fight this battle. And the Lord simply says to him, he says, no. He says, you have too many people. And so he turns back and he charges Gideon. He says, tell whoever is scared that they can leave. And so Gideon turns around and he gives that charge. And he says, if you are scared, go ahead and leave. And I might have been one of them that left. I have no idea. But 22,000 people left. And so it reduced him to 10,000. And so then he came with his 10,000 and he said, God, look, here's my army. Let's go fight this battle. And God said, no, go through another round of elimination based off of drinking water. And the form in which they do that, they were either eliminated or not. And so they went through that second phase. And then from there, the rest of the people left to where they were left. Oh, there was only 300 people left. Right, and so then he brings those 300 people to the Lord, and he says, all right, let's go fight this battle. And the Lord says, all right, let's go do this. And so then they go and they strategically fight this battle of over 142,000 people. And they have 300, and they go, and they win, and they have victory. And God did that not so that Gideon can say, look at me, I'm such a great warrior, look at my men. God did that so that the only answer Gideon would have would be, by the hand of God have we survived, and by the hand of God do we have this victory. Like, that was his only option, was to say, because of the Lord, by the hand of God, we have survived. And so as we began to talk about these two things, and I read the scripture in this passage, God said to me, what are you doing with your 33,000 men? What are you facing? What challenges in your life? What battles are ahead of you to where you have taken your men and you've gone to fight this battle? And if we took 33,000 men against 142,000 men, that is it's a 100% defeat. How at all do you do that? But those odds. And so we face things in our lives. We face battles. We face sin. We face cancer. We face things like that all the time. We face those massive battles in our lives ahead of us. Those massive things that in our own ability are so unrealistic to go and conquer that place. But with God, we have the victory. And so this morning, it's a simple question of, are you facing those things in front of you with your men? Or from the beginning, did you say, God, strip away the things in me that I don't need. Strip away what is in me, take away, die to self, just go within the anointing and the blessing. And because when you go with the 300, even though it looks unrealistic, it looks like this massive battle, when it is blessed and anointed by God, you can face that challenge, you can face that circumstance and know that there is victory because of the example that God has set. And so we have to, the core of who we are, I think as a nation, as a people, as a generation, as in first world countries, I believe nobody has a greater opportunity to impact the world than we do. I think the first world countries have the greatest ability to impact the world. And so God stripped us down. He stripped us down to zero. We sold everything. We moved to Guatemala. We had nothing. And God renewed our minds to say, you guys can go and try and be the best missionaries that you can be. You can go and have all of these dreams and all of these visions and all of these things that you want to do. But if it is not with my 300 men, it will fail. And so God stripped us back and he said, I need to be the source. I need to be the core. I need to be the beginning. I need to be the end. I need to be the very element of your survival, the living water, the living bread, crucial to your survival, to where if God took me away from you, would you be able to survive? And our answer should be no. And it's far more than just the challenges. It's far more than the things that we are facing. And for me, it goes into dreams and visions and goals for my life. I can have amazing dreams. I can have these things that I am going to accomplish. I can go in that power and in my own ability, and it will fail. And so it's not just God strip away things that separate me from you, but it's God, take away my dreams. Take away what I have planned for my life. Take those things away and replace them with what you have. Replace them with what you have. And so in that place, when our identity, right, that's the core of who we are. That's our identity. That is Jesus. That is God, the living water. We're pursuing those things. God took us through a season unlike any that we've ever had, and we had the opportunity to seek him every day, hours on end, more than we have ever had that opportunity to do. And so he renewed our mind in that form of, I am your survival. And so our core was, our identity was reset and reestablished. And then I began to learn that within the New Testament, it says one another, or the relative phrase, each other, 59 times. It says one another, each other, 59 times. We might call ourselves missionaries because we moved to Guatemala, but I'm telling you this morning that you're a missionary, and you're a missionary, and we're all missionaries in this place, in your schools, in your work, in your families, in your churches, in your community, amen? Because the core, the base of the, if I could strip mission, somebody said, well, what does missions mean? If I could strip down to what I believe it means, it is one another. It's the original example that God set for us when he came. And he sacrificed and he died on the cross, not for self, but for one another. And so that is our example as Christians, as people, as a believer, to focus on the one another. And so it says it 59 times. It says, be patient with one another, be kind to one another, pray for one another, lift up each other, encourage each other. And then there's like 20-something where it says, love, 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 love one another. And so my message this morning is simple, and I'm hoping that it's a renewal of mind and just a refreshing to look at life and say, am I going in my own ability? Am I facing these problems in my own ability? Am I living out my own dreams? What is separating me from God? What is dividing me? Is the core of who I am Jesus Christ? Is the core of who I am the water and the bread? The very being of who we are. And so as a nation, as a people, when our identity is correct and our vision is set on the Lord, and every day we wake up and we say, God, give me your dreams, give me your talents, give me your abilities, the gifts that you have given me, develop those within me, and our identity is correct and we know who we are, then we begin to focus on the one another and we see people around us in a different vision, in a different light. I believe one of the greatest weaknesses that people have is apathy. It's to see a need and to say somebody else can meet it. It's to see a need and say, well, God doesn't have that for me. It's to see a need and to walk past it. But I believe that when we are true in our identity, then we focus on the one another, and then every single need that comes across our face is this charge to go and meet that need, is to serve the one another, is to love the one another. And in that place, we're all missionaries. And in that place, living crucially with the Lord as your survival and serving one another, I believe that the miraculous will become our normal. I believe that the miraculous will come our normal, because now if somebody couldn't walk in this place and got up and started running around, I wouldn't necessarily consider that normal currently, but I believe that in that place, when we wake up every day and we say, Lord, I cannot survive without you. Give me everything that you have for me today, your dreams, your visions. You're walking not with your men. You've reset yourself. You've reestablished yourself to go with his 300. He has stripped away those things. You're walking. You're facing these battles, these challenges, these things in front of you. And with God's blessing and with God's anointing, you will go forth and you will conquer. It says we have the victory. And so we go in that blessing and that anointing, and the miraculous will become our normal. People will start running around, eyes would be opened, people would be touched, lives would be impacted. And I love this church and I love this place, and you have such a heart of love and of care. You develop my wife, disciple my wife, and for those people in this room that have done that, nothing has ministered to me in my life more than my wife. Being down over the last couple months, nothing has touched me more than her. And so in that power, in that renewal, in that blessing, stripping back our dreams, our visions, facing challenges, things that might seem that you will never get past them, never get over them, just say, God, take me back to where I began with you, the love, the relationship, the passion, every single day to go in that and to not go in my own abilities. And I believe, church, and I will see, and I declare that those things in front of you will fall down, that you will have the victory in that place, in the blessing and the anointing that God gives us. Amen. And so that is what we learned being down there, just a renewal of mind and casting a vision. And so God, give us a new vision, give us a new dream, give us a new desire, give us what we need and take away what we don't need, and let you, Jesus, be the core of who we are in this place. Let's pray. God, we love you so much this morning. Father, desire every single day, Lord, to live in your blessing and in your anointing with the Holy Spirit walking beside us, God. Go before us, God. Go behind us on our left and on our right. Surround us with your passion, with your glory, with your desire. Father, take away what we have, the dreams, the visions, the goals, the weaknesses that we have. God, take all of those things away and replace them with you. Father, replace them with your word. Replace them with your love, God, to where if somebody took you away from us, we would not be able to survive. Father, that you would have the final say, that you would have the word, Father, that we would go out into our families, into our communities, into our schools, God, and we would be the shining bright light, an example of what it means to walk with you, Father, an example of love and of peace and of confidence and impacting the world around us. Give us the boldness, give us the courage, give us what we need, Father, to declare that walls will fall, to declare victory in this city and in this place. Raise up a generation of people, a church in this building, Father, that will impact this community, that will touch battleground to where the miraculous will become the normal, that people would be drawn here because it is where your love resides, that people would be drawn here because it is where your presence, God, is, and that draws us closer to you, Father. We desire your presence and your love every day. And so bless the leadership in this place. Give them a new vision, a new desire, a new passion to wake up and to say, today is the day that I go in my 300. We will fight this victory. Give them new dreams and visions. Give everybody in this place a dream and a vision for what they have in their life. Lord, bless them, anoint them this morning. Take away what is distracting them from you. Father, strip them down to the core of who they are and just fill them in that place and build within them from the very being of who they are, build within them to where they are walking in that anointing, that blessing, to impact their families, to impact their communities. And in this place, we will see a generation. We will see a tidal wave. We will see renewal and a revival in this place. And we declare that the miraculous would be normal in this church. God, we love you. We bless your name. And we all said amen. Thank you, Pastor, so much.
Thank you. Let's stand together. We are well represented in Guatemala with this young couple. Amen? And is the kingdom of God as well. I want you to get an offering ready. I know some of you may not be prepared to give this morning, but I want you to, if you have something with you, I'd like you to get an offering ready because I'd like to bless this young couple because they're going to have a baby. And they're in the mission field. And they're depending on God's people in the churches that they visit to help them. So would you get an offering ready? All right. If you make a check out, make it out to the church. And if you can't give today, use the tithely system or send it in the mail or drop it by the office. Just make it out. Just mark it Guatemala. And I'd like to be able to bless them with a good offering. Amen? They're doing a great work for the Lord. So thank you both for coming. Thank you for that great message. And thank you, Mariah, for sharing those stories. Now, the way we're going to do the offering is take it to Stacy out in the foyer, or I'm going to have an open Bible right here on the altar, and you can bring it to the altar, and you can just lay it on the Bible. And then we'll take what comes in this week as well, and we'll be sure that we get it to you. And you have to give the baby at least 10%, okay? But, Lord, we thank you today. And as we prepare an offering for this young couple, we just thank you for the work they're doing for the Lord in Guatemala. We are delighted to be able to invest some of our funds into the work of God there in Central America. We know, Lord, that only eternity will tell the story of what has been done in that work because God's people prayed and they supported and they gave, Lord, and that Darren and Mariah went when you said go. We pray for Juvenat Ministries. We pray for them. We pray for Darren and Mariah and this new baby on the way, that you would supply every need and use us to be a blessing to them. We thank you for them, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's give them one more hand of appreciation, shall we?